You know what they say? Some things in life are bad. They can really make you mad. Other things just make you swear and curse. When you're chewing on life's gristle, don't grumble, give a whistle. And this'll help things turn out for the best. Always look on the bright side of life. Always look on the light side of life. If life seems jolly rotten, there's something you've forgotten, and that's to laugh and smile and dance and sing. When you're feeling in the dumps, don't be silly chumps, just purse your lips and whistle, that's the thing. And always look on the bright side of life. Always look on the bright side of life. For life is quite absurd, and death's the final word. You must always face the curtain with a bow. Forget about your scene, give the audience a grin. Enjoy it, your life can't be out.
So always look on the bright side of death. Just before you draw your terminal breath.
Life's a piece of shit when you look at it. Life's a laugh and death's a joke, it's true. You'll see it's all a show. Keep on laughing as you go. Just remember that the last laugh is on you. And
always look on the bright side of life.
Winter solstice today, the 21st. Yeah, the 21st. Here in the bunker, right here in north central Indiana, this is Terrible Tommy. Right next to Terrible Tommy's Terrible Tavern and Steakhouse and Filling Station, where we only sell Ethel and regular. And, oh, if you got a kerosene heater, we'll sell you kerosene, too. But watch out you don't asphyxiate yourself. It's funny, yesterday me and my main squeeze went out and had a bite of Chinese food. You know, I gotta admit it, I like it. But anyhow, the owner was there and I said, Happy Winter Solstice. He didn't know what I was talking about. I figured the Chinese would know more about that than most Americans, you know, most whites. But he never heard of the Winter Solstice. But I'll bet you there's a lot of other Chinamen that do. Everywhere I went the last two or three days, I always said, they said Merry Christmas, I said Happy Winter Solstice, and a lot of them smiled and looked like they knew what I was talking about, but most of them didn't. But anyhow, I think that's a good practice to do. Yeah, I like the pagan Santa Claus, but the rest of that Christmas stuff I can leave go. Well, we've had a lot of rain here the last couple of days. It's raining right now, raining pretty heavy, yeah. I had to go out and feed my birds. Yeah, I'm telling you, I got birds like you wouldn't believe. I got my own aviary here. They're eating me out of house and home. And if that ain't enough, a black squirrel comes down the fence. I call him African American. And he tries to horn in and get some of the bird food. Yeah, so. Or at least what the birds slop around on the top of the table. Yeah. But it's sort of interesting when you observe even small critters like birds, mostly sparrows. Sparrows are like almost like the black race. They come from everywhere, I'm telling you. We get 95% sparrows and 5% cardinals and blue jays and all that. But the blue jays, the colorful ones, and the cardinals, they come in there like a B-29, man, and they scare off the sparrows for a little bit, but there's so many sparrows, they come back pretty quick. Isn't that just like life? Yeah, and if they, sometimes they spill a bunch of seed on the ground, and I look out there, it must be 100 sparrows out there on the ground. It looks like the ground is moving. Oh, that's my story for today. Well, they're really doing everything they can to throw the election to Hillary, this deal between her and our guy from New Hampshire about the flap with the Democratic National Committee. I'll tell you who the bitch is. It's that gal that heads it up, the Jewess. What the hell's her name? Anyhow, she obviously is wanting to throw the election to Hillary. Because if the Republicans keep screwing around, they're going to make sure that the Democrats get it, and we're going to have Hillary as our president. I listened to an author that's written a book about the Clintons when they were in power in the 90s. It was pretty interesting. I didn't get the title, but you'll hear about it. It'll be on the New York Times bestseller list, that's for sure. You know, some people might criticize me for going all over the place for news. I don't care. Jew, black, Chinaman, or what. I'll go after the news and find out what the hell's going on. Now, I just happened in the middle of the night to pick this up. And surprisingly, it was on a black talk show. And it's something that I have seen nowhere else in the news at all. And it's going to blow your socks off, and you need to get this information around. So here we go.
There's an interesting article that I posted on my site that has gotten zero attention. Israel key link in exporting ISIS oil. 30,000 barrels of oil a day, $19 million a month. That's apparently the revenues that are flowing into the Islamic State. It's oil exports flowing through Turkey. And now an investigative report accuses Israel of being one of the principal middlemen for Islamic State oil. The guy who has reported on this is Vijay Prashad. He's the George and Martha Kellner Chair in South Asian History, Professor of International Studies at Trinity College. There are a number of reports and studies that have been conducted. The Financial Times has done some reporting. Al Arabi, Al Jadid has done a major study on the 26th of November. This is according to Professor Vijay Prashad, which they called Raqqa's Rockefeller. The Russian government has released their own paper on what they claim is going on between the ISIS territory, Turkey, and Israel. He did a report called ISIS Oil. So there are a number of people who have been looking at the phenomena of ISIS oil and how it's both being taken out of the ground and where it's going, how ISIS is able to make money. The story is rooted, this is according again to Vijay Prashad, the story is rooted actually in phenomena that predated ISIS. In other words, there are oil fields in northern Iraq in the Kurdish autonomous region where for many years the Iraqi regional government of Kurdistan has been in some kind of competition with the government of Baghdad. the central government. And oil has been siphoned out of these northern fields, these Kurdish fields, onto big trucks, smuggled into Turkey, and they've gone through Sihan port, through Malta, often to Israel. So this is a rather old network that has been at least been going on for 15 years or so. When ISIS took control of these fields about 18 months ago, they simply used the same networks, the same smuggling networks. They organized it. They've created in Mosul an institution called Office of Resources, which controls things that were as far afield as oil smuggling to soft drink distribution. They do a variety of things, the Office of Resources. Interesting article.
So there you go. Good old Israel, right back at it, you know, with all kinds of skullduggery. They're not, you know, they've never been our ally. They never was. It's all smoke and mirrors. And they actually are our enemy. I mean, you know, that's, I could see that. And so anyhow, all this oil is going through this old trail down there and going into Turkey and then into Israel and so forth. So it's all about oil again. But how many times have you heard this story on the radio? Have you heard this on Rush Scumbaugh or even your right-wing conservatives radio shows? You haven't heard a word of this because they're not going to say anything critical of Israel. So far, I haven't even heard it on some of the progressive left-wing stations, which usually they put that stuff right up there, at least some of them, the more radical left, not the Jew-controlled left. Not so much they're Jew-controlled, but they're afraid of the Jews. That's why most of this news don't get out, because they have the fear of the Jews, you know, the power of the Jews, the power of the purse, and so forth. So, anyhow, that's the way that works. Anyhow, if you remember that old rock and roll song, you gotta shop around. Yeah, if you want to know what's going on, you gotta shop around. That brings me to another situation. I sent it out to you, I think, yesterday, my comments to one of our subscribers that tunes in a lot to this outfit called Stormer. And, you know, whoever it is doing a lot of work. I forget the name, but he's doing a lot of work every day, and I give him credit for that. However, it's more of the Hitler worship, and as far as I'm concerned, wasting a lot of time on half a dozen National Socialists or Hollywood Nazis marching down the street, or somebody waved a flag out the window, or somebody got arrested for painting a swastika on their car. You know, you're getting all this kind of stuff. But as I said in my little send-out, that's fine for some people. That's what they want to do, and they're going to do it. But almost all the right wing is based on that. What are they doing to us? And a white guy got killed by a nigger, you know. Well, of course white guys are going to get killed by niggers, because most white guys don't know how to fight back, and they're cowards to fight back, and they don't agree with us, and they want to... they take the attitude, well, why should they beat me up? I didn't do anything to them. I'm integrating. I'm race mixing. What the hell's their problem? You know, they just don't understand. And my position at this stage of my life is I'm having a time to tell them. Either they catch on or they get beat to death. You know. The story about a white guy that won $150 gambling up in Las Vegas, and a young squirt nigger killed him. Well, it's always going to keep going unless white people respond in kind. I'm sorry, I'm not really a horribly violent person myself. I don't go around looking for fights. I don't go around looking to kill people. But you've got to understand the mentality of much of the black race. The only way that they were kept in check in the old days was by the influence of some violence. whether it was in the courts or whatever. But a lot of people don't understand that. They're still buying. They're buying into this. We're equal. Well, no, you're not equal. Equality is a bunch of bullshit. Period. White people are not equal to each other. I mean, it'd be a boring world if they were. But certainly, between the white race and the black race, there certainly is no equality there. And when there's no equality, you got to have order, you know, because you're expecting too much out of the black race. Now you're going to say, well, I know this mulatto, he's pretty smart, and the president's half white too. Well, then it becomes even more of a problem because you have a half white person, and they've got part of the genes and part of the other genes. And just read some animal husbandry books about hybridism and how that works out. You can't breed racehorses with plow horses and expect to get a good racehorse or a plow horse. You can use other type allegories, but that's the one that's easiest for me to think out of. But anyhow, back to this stuff of people having websites and all they do is talk about what they're doing to us. And almost nothing about what we're doing to them, because we're not doing anything to them. You know, not even defending ourselves properly. And so as long as that's going on, it's going to be miserable for a lot of people. If you're smart enough to know how to operate, you can stay out of the way of a lot of this crap and not get pulled into something that's going to be a real problem for you. You got to be wary like the lone wolf. When you go down the street or you walk down a sidewalk, you got to be wary at all times of everything that's around you. Everything that's behind you. When you're in a store, you got to watch out for who's around you. When you go to the theater, you got to watch out who's sitting next to you. You have to become aware of all that. And if you're not becoming aware as the wolf is aware, then you're subject to becoming the prey. And the personage of the wolf is going to get you. The bad wolf. Like I said in the note I sent out, people like you and me and a bunch of other people, we've been putting this stuff out for decades. I mean, you know, I was having the right wing for decades, but I could see it was not going anywhere. In fact, it was getting worse. And then we have a lot of people that are just playing games on the internet. They don't learn anything important. They just regurgitate the same old stuff. Or they're trying to rehabilitate Uncle Adolf, spent all their time on that. Or they spent all their time on, well, there was no Holocaust, or there was not very many Jews got killed. Well, that's bullshit. Of course there's a lot of Jews got killed. Tremendous amount of Jews. If they didn't get killed by the Germans, they got killed by the Russians and killed by the Germans in the East. And then you get people trying to rehabilitate the Wehrmacht and all that stuff. Well, how these horrible Russians went into Berlin and raped the women. Well, I know that. Of course I know that. Well, one reason might have been that you killed 20 million Russians, burned down their houses, raped their women, everything else. And so, well, what would you expect? However, many of those troops that were funneled into Berlin were Mongol troops, Asian troops, that Stalin had diverted over there because he knew that a lot of the white Russian soldiers, even though they had every reason to kill people, were not so bestial as to kill all these, do all these things to the women. Now, there's a lot of probably white Russians did, but the point was that I can't understand these people that say, they say the Russians are terrible, but they lost 20 million people. Germans attacked Russia, surprise attack, and they burned everything as they went along and raped and pillaged. And there's new books out on that too, that this, you can't clean up the act of a lot of the Wehrmacht. They were doing the same stuff that other soldiers were doing from other countries. I had a friend who was at the Battle of the Bulge, and I've told this story before. He said as they went through there, they saw all kinds of German troops with their fingers cut off and hands cut off and everything else to get their rings and watches and anything they might get. But he never saw one GI corpse in the Battle of the Bulge that had been treated that way. And this guy was not a Nazi. He was not a Nazi. He was actually pretty liberal. So we've been our own enemy for a long time. And we've been led by the nose, or a lot of people have been led by the nose. And if people don't understand the waste of time of just putting up all these oh my God things without achieving some kind of progress, well, they're screwed up. Then it becomes false flag. Every day I get this stuff in here from deals like this Stormer. If Stormer starts printing ideas on what we can do about it, what we, you and me as individuals can do about it, I'm going to promote it. But Stormfront or VNN or any of these, I'm not going to promote them as long as all they're defeatist. They tell you all this bad stuff, suppose you're going to get mad and do something. Well, that's not the way people operate. Read The Crowd by Gustave Le Bon on crowd psychology and see how the crowd operates. They have to get totally, absolute, hysterical mad before they'll do anything. Crowd psychology. And that's the way they are. So you can tell them all the horror stories you want till hell freezes over and nothing changes. Nothing changes. So think about that. You can share it with VNN and Stormfront or Stormer or any of these outfits if you want. I'm not really their enemy. I'm just pointing out that I believe their strategy is wrong, or at least not up to par. And when I see something, somebody, white person or a group of white people that have done something effective and strategically effective for the white race, and then they say, well, I got that idea from Stormfront, or I got that idea from VNN, or I got that idea from Stormer, well, I'm going to be the first to say, great, good job, good job. Interesting that almost none of the right wing talk about Terrible Tommy unless it's derisively. Individuals like Tommy, but the groups and outfits don't. It's interesting that the federal people write quite a bit about me, and people even, well, in the government and so forth, they've written quite a bit about me. But the media don't want to touch my strategy for with a 20-foot pole because I'm trying to lead people in a successful direction, do my little bit, you know. Brings me to another thing. I get quite a number of prisoners, POWs, outside our main POW list that write to me and want information. They all come to me. They've already been tainted with this Hitler worship and the Nazi thing without understanding anything about real National Socialism, as do most of these leaders. They don't really understand the underpinnings of National Socialism. And that's a problem. These young guys come to me after they've already screwed up, ended up in prison. And then they also want to, they start bitching about other guys in prison. And I here's something I sent back to a couple of prisoners. Dear POW or prisoner, not a POW, this is a regular prisoner. I don't designate most prisoners as POWs, only the order type people and others who have did their thing for the race. When it comes to internal prison problems, I have no real control. I can only advise. The first thing I advise is to get along or ignore it. Otherwise, it never turns out well. I cannot take sides since you could be the warden writing to me. For all I know, the people you talk about could be axe murderers or blacks, for all I know, that would write me and then get something going about fighting inside the prison, which I have no control over. I simply send token information for your education. Even then, I cannot send in what you really should be reading due to the big boss man halting almost everything that has anything to do with race. But again, I know the person you brought up has been writing on and off for years. But again, I know little about him. If people can't work out their problems in a civilized manner, I cut off communication. Oldness type groups, as far as I know, are authorized to set up certain activities. I know they do in some federal prisons. Richard Scutari has done that. Just tell everyone either get along or separate. You have enough problems besides fighting among yourselves. That's, you know, because I've told them I'll just cut them off. They start that this guy, that guy, he said, she said. You got to understand, most people in prison belong there. Maybe not, they may not be treated as well as they should, but a majority of people in prison have done bad things. I mean, you know, to their fellow man, to white people, or blacks to black people, and so forth, or back and forth between white and blacks. So you're not dealing with somebody who's a brand new and fresh and ready to hear educated material on race. You're dealing with somebody who's already screwed up at least once, maybe two or three times. And then, like, I got an email from a guy who they just get out of prison. Ah, I follow MSN and I follow BNN and I follow this and that, and I want to be a member of your outfit too. And the first thing I tell him, well, you can't be a member of my outfit. I don't have an outfit. And then I send him the survival manual, and I say, now read it very carefully and get back to me. And most of them don't, because the survival manual really lays it out in black and white how to operate and so forth, without all this jingoism and what would Adolf say, So anyhow, and most of them I don't think even read it, because it is several pages long, and because they get back to me and I detect it, they don't even understand what I said. I say, did you really read it or not, which most of them don't read it. So anyhow, that's the story there. Just tell them to read the survival manual. If you're willing to, if that's what you want to follow, then fine. I want them to quit putting me in the same boat with these VNN and Stormfront and Stormer, and there's a lot of others around like that. I don't have time for that kind of dribble. Oh, you might find this amusing, the ongoing sign saga with the terrible Tommy's big sign out in front of his house. I sent this, now that they're printing my letters again, I sent this to the paper. At the risk of causing the county to collapse, I have decommissioned my sign. I was impressed that the only neighbor who complained to the Planning Commission actually had his complaint handled by a national law firm out of Indianapolis. Boy, it seems like a stretch. What also impressed me in a search for others committing such a dastardly deed during the entire last year, no business in this town or private sign owner was denied a variance except me. Almost all the commercial businesses that applied for a variance on their size of their sign have cases, they have signs that are at least double the 220 square foot limit. Guess what? The Planning Commission approved them all, but my little sign. There are hundreds of smaller signs like mine in the county that aren't being challenged at all by the Planning Commission. Oh well, all animals are equal, but some are more equal than others. Now back to the drawing board, because I'm putting up a scrolling neon sign now that falls underneath their size program. I've got one here, and I've got one coming that's been donated by, well, Webmaster donated one, and Stray Dog did the other. I have to go up to the place that sells that kind of stuff and get a little training on how to use it. So, you know, whenever they hit you, whenever they think they got you, just come back with something else. Just come back with something else. It's funny. They spend all this time and money worrying about something like that. And you just, oh, okay, and come back with something else. That's the way you fight them. It's called jiu-jitsu. Use the weight of your opposition against them. If you remember the other day, I played all this stuff that was actually on the internet about all the money that it's costing most of the big cities in lawsuits around the country for police brutality and police this and police that. Well, I wanted to bring something out that they didn't bring out, which is a little bit good for the cops in this sense. Remember when Reagan back in the 80s, Ronald Reagan was president, and he opened up, well, he was governor, he did it. He just opened up all the mental institutions and dumped the people out on the street. Yeah, he wanted to save taxes. Well, hundreds, maybe thousands of mentally ill people were dumped on the street, and that caught on all over the country. They did that all over the country. So now you've got an army of mentally disturbed people on the street. So why wouldn't they expect these people to be act strange and maybe resist arrest and flail their arms around and scream and yell, you know? So the cop shoots them. Well, there's a study been made about all this problem. They say, you know, cops are not trained to be doctors or psychiatrists or psychologists. So when somebody gives them a lot of trouble, they just shoot them. So they're trying now, supposedly, to get training programs going to train cops that are worth a damn to recognize schizophrenia and all this kind of stuff on the street. So when they're talking about $500 million over a few years in Chicago and in lawsuits of the city, I'd say half of these people that are involved in these things and police shootouts and everything are mentally screwed up people and just run around on the street. Look, we got hundreds of thousands, maybe millions of soldiers with PTSD roaming around the streets. They're in a lot of times in alcohol and drugs and everything else besides. Depleted uranium poisoning and all that stuff. Well, of course, when a cop comes up to a guy, say, you know, been a hardcore soldier, got PTSD, maybe screwed up on drugs, and maybe screwed up on this depleted uranium, and some young punk cop just tries to push him around and manhandle him, what do you think's going to happen? and then all of a sudden you got $1 million lawsuit against the city. Now, if Chicago would take that $500 million that they've spent over the last few years, and of course Cleveland's $300 million, New York's $500 million, LA's so many million, if they take those millions and reopen these mental hospitals to house these people and give them proper treatment, they'd be money ahead. But Jesse Ventura was talking about this horrible cost to the taxpayer, but what he didn't talk about was this mental problems that these people on the streets have. Now, it seemed to me it'd be a hell of a lot cheaper to reopen the mental hospitals and get them off the street and get them some reasonable treatment than to be paying out all these millions of dollars for lawsuits against the city. Pass that around, see what you think. All this shows you, too, how they really don't give a shit about veterans. They talk about veterans all the time. And they do some good with the VA. I've been treated pretty good by the VA. But in general, they're not treated that well anyplace else. And sometimes they're not treated well by the VA. But that is a problem. And they've got plenty of money or credit to wage war and occupation all over the Middle East. Every time one theater starts cranking down in violence, they open up a new war. These are psychopaths. They're criminal psychopaths that infest your government. It's not your government. It's not my government. It's the government of the ruling class. And what the ruling class wants, the ruling class gets. And you'd have plenty of money for mental hospitals and things like that if they'd raise the taxes on the corporations like they should. What gets me is the corporations are crying about too many taxes, so they're going to go someplace else. That's the biggest bunch of bullshit there is. I mean, there's been taxes on corporations were about 80% under Eisenhower. Yeah, and now they cry because there's less than 30% taxes on the rich corporations, and that's too much for them, so they take their money out of the country and put it in a bank on a small island. That's why I always say I wish the workers in these countries that they're paying them Mickey Mouse wages and housing them in unsafe buildings and so forth under bad conditions on the job, if they just rise up and kill them all, just take over the plant, you know, burn it down, you know, so those corporations couldn't do business over there. They'd have to come back here to the United States. So whenever you hear about workers in a country rioting, cheer them on. Cheer them on. Don't be like the stupid conservatives. Well, we'll send some troops over there. We'll show them how. We'll show them what's for. God damn those Chinamen. God damn those Vietnamese. They should be licking our feet. We're so good to them, even though we killed a few million of their people in the Vietnam War. They should be grateful. They should be grateful and work for 10 cents an hour or a dollar a day or a dollar a week, you know, and work in horrible conditions. In China now, they can't even breathe. People are dropping like flies. The kids are getting all kinds of breathing problems and so forth. But the average Republican conservative, he went along with chipping all the jobs out. It was mainly the Republican Party and the national business people. He went along with it. And then, of course, when people rise up in any kind of resistance, they, by God, we'll send the Marines over there. What's the matter with those people? We treat them so goddamn well. It's terrible. It's insane. Both the progressives and people like me are yelling to the roof about this stuff. And sometimes a right-wing conservative will say a few words, but usually it's the other way around. We got to send troops. That's their answer to everything. We got to send troops, you know. Wow. This Politico outfit has contacted me a couple of times. Once I talked to them, and they only put one sentence of what I said, and they trimmed that to make it look like I was supporting Trump. I hope Trump does spread chaos in this country, which he's doing, which a byproduct can help us out. But don't depend on him. Don't depend on him. And look, he's wanting to spend a lot more money on arms and ammunition and get more involved. Now, one thing he said yesterday, you know, where Putin came out and said that he liked Trump, that might help us have a little more peaceful talk with the Russians if Trump will hold on to that and not be pushed into damning the Russians all the time like the right wing does. They sure want to get back into a Cold War. They really do. And maybe a hot war, because they keep yelling about it. Here's an email from Politico. I'm doing a story on Donald Trump's effect on the pro-white movement. What has Trump's candidacy meant to the movement? Has he energized your listeners and other parts of the movement? Is he helping you attract new people to the thought process or driving more donations? Inspired you to more ambitious action? Or is he just another critical politician? Cynical politician. Let me know if you want to hop on the phone to discuss this stuff. You know, I used to fall for all that shit. I'm done falling for that shit. He knows exactly what he wants to. They'll take you talk to him a half an hour, and they'll take out maybe 1 minute of what they can maneuver into their article to change the whole intent of what you say, and that's it. Now, if anybody can get money out of these people and say, well, I'll talk to you, you got to send me $500, well, of which they won't do, it's okay with me. But I hate these bastards with a perfect hatred, because the press, between the State Department, the press, and the Pentagon, they're the worst enemies of this country, or at least the people who've got any brains left. They sure do. So, I mean, and it's unbelievable that the people believe this dribble. That brings me to another thing I was thinking about over the weekend. You know, when I'm not doing a show, a lot of times I'll think about things. So I'm thinking about how come this race mixing got so popular? What was it? The water? The food? The over-the-counter drugs? What was it? Well, no, I think it was very simple for the most part, having studied hypnosis in the old days. The television is a hypnotic device. And you stare at it and stare at it. That's a perfect way to get hypnotized. Now, you don't think it's hypnotism, but it depends on you, too. Not a lot of people can't be hypnotized. I can't. But most people can. They're in a situation called post-hypnotic suggestion. And that is, they're partially in a trance or in a hypnotic state most of the day and most of the night when they're not asleep. There's another word for it. It's somnambulistic. And so a lot of our problems started way back in the 50s when television came in. Now, I'm not saying never watch television, but I think it's something like owning a gun. You got to be responsible. If you watch television, you should have a license and pass an IQ test or something. But as time has gone on, you see more and more race mixing on TV. And also, not only race mixing, but they more and more showing, especially Negroes, in leadership and power positions. In the movies, they've got now niggers being president. Well, we got a live one, but that was an accident if the other side hadn't screwed up and put up such idiots. We wouldn't have a black president. But anyhow, they put them in power positions in comic books and on TV and everything else. You'll see them. I mean, they're the president, or they're the head general of the Pentagon, or they're the head astronaut, or they're and they got white people working for them like slaves. You know, it's amazing. I see these shows, detective shows, all the time, that they've usually got a black captain who runs the show, and all these whites, good-looking white Aryan people, kissing his ass. Oh, yes, chief. Yes, chief. Yes, chief. Well, that's like Chinese water torture. It keeps dripping on your head and gets into your subconscious, and the people, masses of people, begin to believe that shit, that blacks are equal to whites and so forth. Equality. So I think it's very simple how they have very cleverly, they've used other methods too, but I think one of the main methods has been simply television, using a hypnotic device to get into your subconscious, like Vance Packard. Remember, he wrote those books about the manipulators. I forget what they called it, how they flash certain pictures on the screens that you don't recognize, but your subconscious sees it, but it's on there so fast that you don't see it. Yeah, that's the kind of stuff. But on a lower level, but more effective, is simply putting non-whites or people you don't like Jews even, if you don't like Jews, putting Jews in all the power positions. But more than that, they put them as nice guys. They're never bad guys. Hardly ever a Jew is a real bad guy. Once in a while now that we're getting so many Jews, but you know. So since the 1950s, we've been soaking it up. And if you're lucky like me, you haven't bought the program. If you've learned to resist and doubt everything and be somewhat cynical, or even be a lot cynical, then you can escape their mesmerism. Which it is mesmerism. You should read The Crowd by Gustave Le Bon to understand crowd psychology. And television has done it. And now you have the mulatto race, which is far more dangerous than the basic black race. Coffee-colored gals that are part white, and they're attractive, actually. And you know what's going to happen with that. There's white guys who are on the prowl, or they're going to go for them. A couple of drinks and away they go. The mulattoes are, that's what got France screwed up in Haiti. It wasn't the regular Negroes. It was the mulattoes that rose up in Haiti and murdered a lot of the French and drove them out. Interestingly enough, the French that got run out of Haiti ended up in Philadelphia. And that's what caused John Adams to come up with a law. I forget the law, but he came up with a law, the alien laws of tighter control on people coming into the country, because Adams was afraid the French were going to get too numerous in this country and take over. And then we'd have had Napoleon Bonaparte running the show. So that's how that happened. But it was the mulattoes. And these mulattoes can be quite intelligent. And when white people don't educate themselves and take advantage of education, like they don't do, even though they are superior but they don't use the superiority to advance themselves, well, the mulatto pass them up. Because the mulatto may not be equal to a white man, but he may be studying like mad, and he becomes doctor, lawyer, Indian chief, you know. So the right wing doesn't foster, the right wing of the racial thing, don't say hardly anything about education. Make sure you go to college and go. Make sure you become educated in the sciences. No, they don't do that at all. Have you seen anybody do it? I haven't. It's all you have to do is worship Hitler. And if we only had Hitler back here, he'd straighten it out. That's why the Klan is so screwed up. You got uneducated people running the Klan. I mean, even the leadership of the Klan, uneducated. And I'm not picking on the Klan, but I am picking on the modern Klan. The old Klan was started by people that even were about the ruling class. Educated men, educated military officers who were about to put something together to protect the white race in the South. But now, I saw it when I joined up with David Duke, the people he was recruiting. Down in Louisiana, I said, David, look at these people. These aren't white people. One of his main guys at the time was a bartender down there. He was some type of a mulatto. I said, they're all right. They're all right. And then I went back to California, and I started seeing where I was sending guys out to recruit, and they were coming back with the same crap. Or people who were not acting very white or living very white and lived as bad as a lot of them lived as bad as the Negroes. So that's another reason I got out of the Klan. Anyhow, that's enough on that. Well, let's close out with George Carlin, the high priest of the bunker here. George Carlin, here we go, about war.
We like war. We like war. We're a warlike people. We like war because we're good at it. And you know why we're good at it? Because we get a lot of practice. This country's only 200 years old, and already we've had 10 major wars. We average a major war every 20 years in this country, so we're good at it. And it's a good thing we are. We're not very good at anything else anymore. Huh? Can't build a decent car. Can't make a TV set or a VCR worth a fuck. Got no steel industry left, can't educate our young people, can't get health care to our old people, but we can bomb the shit out of your country, all right. Especially if your country is full of brown people. That's our new job in the world, bombing brown people. Iraq, Panama, Grenada, Libya, you got some brown people in your country, tell them to watch the fuck out. Or we'll goddamn bomb them. But when's the last white people you can remember that we bombed? Can you remember the last white? Can you remember any white people we've ever bombed? The Germans, those are the only ones. And that's only because they were trying to cut in on our action. They wanted to dominate the world. Bullshit, that's our fucking job. And you probably noticed, I don't feel about that war the way we were told we were supposed to feel about that war, the way we were ordered and instructed by the United States government to feel about that war. My mind doesn't work that way. I got this real moron thing I do, it's called thinking. And I'm not a very good American because I like to form my own opinions. I don't just roll over when I'm told to. Sad to say, most Americans just roll over on command. Not me. I have certain rules I live by. My first rule, I don't believe anything the government tells me. Nothing. Zero. Nope. And I don't take take very seriously the media or the press in this country, who in the case of the Persian Gulf War were nothing more than unpaid employees of the Department of Defense, and who most of the time function as kind of an unofficial public relations agency for the United States government. So I don't listen to them, I don't really believe in my country, and I gotta tell you folks, I don't get all choked up about yellow ribbons and American flags. I consider them to be symbols, and I leave symbols to the symbol-minded.
I'm talking about the fact that a war is rich old men protecting their property by sending middle-class and lower-class young men off to die. Forget these foolish elections. The owners of this country don't care about the poor in general.
Karl Marx talking to me?
The owners of this country are the voters of this country.
No, you're wrong about that, Mike.
Aren't the owners of this country the voters in this country?
No,
they're not. Listen, for politics, these elections are a charade. They are meant to... I'll tell you, listen for a minute. Learn a little something. The elections and politicians are in place in order to give Americans the illusion that they have freedom of choice. You don't really have choice in this country.
All of the things that are important, reduced in choice. Newspapers in a city, how many? Used to be 3-4, now it's 1 or 2, they're owned by the same people, and they also own a radio station.
Give these people a voting day every year so that they'll have the illusion of meaningless choice. Meaningless choice that we go like slaves and say, "Oh, I voted." The limits of debate in this country are established before the debate even begins, and everyone else is marginalized. They're made to seem either to be communist or some sort of disloyal person. A kook, there's a word, and now it's conspiracy. See, they've made that something that should not be even entertained for a minute, that powerful people might get together and have a plan. Doesn't happen. You're a kook. You're a conspiracy buff. Conspiracy buff.
Okay. Not as a result of a conspiracy,
You don't need a formal conspiracy.
Right.
When interests converge, these people went to the same universities and fraternities. They're on the same boards of directors. They're on the same country clubs. They have like interests. They don't need to call a meeting. They know what's good for them. They're getting it. And there used to be 7 oil companies. There are now 3. It will soon be 2. The things that matter in this country have been reduced in choice. There are 2 political parties. There are a handful of insurance companies. There are about 6 or 7 information things. But if you want a bagel, there are 23 flavors because you have the illusion. You have the illusion of choice.
Right.
You don't get the real importance. There's no freedom of choice.
Door.
Mabel, the show's over. Toss me a beer.